Show Recaps Theater presents Movies. So many movies as reviewed for you by your friends at Post Show Recaps. Featuring Grace and Ariel and their incredible movie takes, we hope you enjoy the show.
My name is Grace, and welcome to Jackass. My name is Grace. I'm here with Ariel. Hi, Ariel.
Hey there, Grace. How are you doing?
We watched Jackass. Is it Jackass 5 or Jackass Forever? The same
it's
thing.
It's Jackass Forever.
The fifth movie, though. You think?
I don't know.
I believe so. Oh, it's the fourth installment. That's why it's called Forever. Gosh.
I didn't know that going into, but I had since learned that there were other movies. I totally forgot about this whole movie franchise, honestly, basically.
Well, there's also like, well, yeah, so Jackass the movie in 2002, Jackass number 2 in 2006, Jackass 3D in 2010. That's a time period where movies were in 3D. And yes. Then there was Jackass Presents Bad Grandpa, which is that's the fourth and so on, but it's not technically a Jackass movie. And then there's Jackass Forever. So it's kind of the fifth movie, but it's also kind of the fourth movie.
Yeah. And they do something I've since learned, they do a 0.5. So there was like Jackass 2.5 and Jackass 3.5, which essentially amounts to like behind the scenes footage and stuff that they cut out. So it's like not a full movie. It's kind of like a movie plus. And I just read today actually that they'll be releasing Jackass 4.5 on Netflix at some point. So,
oh, really? Interesting.
Be on the lookout for that if you liked Forever.
So what I'll say, we are talking about Jackass Forever, the movie that just came out in theaters. I mean, if you've never heard of Jackass, boy, do I have a show for you to watch. But I'm assuming you have watched Jackass, and I'm also assuming if you chose to put on this podcast, you're like not near children, or children can't hear this one. But I do think this one does warrant a bit of like, we're going to talk about some weird stuff. So be forewarned, I think. But yeah, should we talk like big picture? I guess even before that, I'm interested. What is your experience with Jackass, the franchise?
Let's see. So growing up, I was never like, I'm the younger brother of two, and my older brother was always watching it. So it was just like a thing through osmosis that like, I don't know that I would have sought it out, but like you watch it and you start to understand it. You start to like understand the language, or especially the very specific kind of humor of the show.
Yeah.
And then also my good friend, also like a big fan. So like, it was always, I have some nostalgia for it. And, you know, if you're of a certain age, you remember it was kind of inescapable back when it was at the height of it. I was actually going back and looking. I was shocked that it was only like three-ish years, seasons.
Like 2000 to 2002. And then the movie came out. That was the end of the show.
It just looms so large. Yeah, it makes sense to me that like once they did the movies that they never went back to the show. But like in my mind, when I first saw the trailer for Jackass Forever, I was like, oh, wow, now they're finally doing a movie, because the show went on for so long. And I think in my mind, I was conflating the movies with the show. And it's just, it's crazy how big of like an entertainment like network it kind of is in a way.
It's a huge brand. It has a huge cultural impact, you know, and I think that it has there's like two tales of Jackass in my head, which is one is like, it was this thing that was so shocking, and so it's very much of its time, like in terms of the like home video nature of this. This is a show that like very much in the like, you know, the beginning of the reality TV era, is the show of like people doing real stunts, real, like, I guess not real stunts, like they're doing them. And you know, the movies now are very much like, these are professionals, even though how'd you become a professional, Johnny Knoxville? Steve-O? You take a course, you take a class. I mean, anyway, I think that it had such a cultural impact in how it's so of its time in terms of like reality TV-ness, and then also it's like the shock humor of it. And then I think it also has huge public like pop culture-iness of the backlash to Jackass, like the controversy of backlash. Like, this is a thing that like kids these days are like watching, you know, and they love. This is a show that MTV has put on the air. Like, I know, I think is it Joe Lieberman, I think, is the center who was like the most anti-Jackass. Like, kids are going to try it at home. Right. It's, you know, it's offensive. It's whatever. Yeah, it certainly, I think, like, that's the tale of Jackass. And now I feel like it's very, was weird to me to like see this movie coming out and people being so excited for a new movie. And then also, you know, I don't know what we could spoil. We could spoil the stuff that happens in the movie. Like, I think if you haven't seen it, I think you know whether you want to go see it or not. But the one thing I will say is when I watched out of the theater, I wasn't expecting there to be as much heartwarmingness as I got out of this movie, which is like, I think, a big surprise. And I don't want to like spoil like what that is about the movie, because I think just go see it if you're like not super anti-Jackass, I think.
Yeah, if you half even care, and you know, you enjoy the, to your point, like, Jackass is such a specific brand at this point, like, you know exactly what you're getting when you go into it, whether it's watching an old episode or watching one of the movies. It's so bizarre. Like, I was even in like the lead up to the movie, I kept seeing the trailer and I was like, but then as it got closer and closer, I was like, do I want to see that? And then the prospect of going to see it on opening weekend, it was like, I gotta see this thing. It's like people, and then the reviews came out. It was like, wow, is this gonna be incredible? Like,
I mean, it wasn't really on our radar. And then I think 2 weeks ago, at the end of the pod, we're like, what are we doing? What's our plan for the next 2 weeks? And then we're like, well, there is a, should I call it out? Should I call the movie that we, Moonfall? We're like, maybe Moonfall. And I was like, what about, should we cover Jackass? And you were like, yes, we need to cover Jackass. And that was before the movie came out, right? That was like, I think, the excitement of like, yeah, Jackass was kind of back. And they do some stuff in this movie. I think they bring in some new people. We'll talk about like the hits and misses of the new cast, but I thought there was some fresh energy in there. And like, yeah, I saw a lot of people's penises and butts and whatever. But like,
sounds like you were watching a Jackass movie.
Yeah. I don't want to like endorse people to go see it if you're like, you know, but I think, you know, if you're going to sit in the movie and be like, I don't want to watch that guy's naked, I don't want to see, you know, don't go. But if it's
for sure not for everyone. And that is okay. Obviously, like, it goes without saying, you know, you shouldn't subject yourself to certain kinds of things if you're not about it. But to your point, like, I was not expecting, like, you mentioned how heartwarming, and like, I wasn't expecting to feel so much and to like, especially for something that doesn't really have plot and doesn't really have an arc. And yet the thing itself is historical. And the arc is, we know where these people have been before, you know, it's almost like, you know, it's happening off screen almost, like there's all this history. But it was so funny and so genuinely, like joyful, sweet in some points. And like, to hear them, like, Sean Fantasy said this on Twitter, and like, it's so like, I was just like, how do you like upvote a tweet? I don't think you can do that. I guess you would retweet it. Like, you know, it's like, I'm 70. Hello. Like, part of the fun of watching Jackass was like just watching a whole bunch of people who are friends laugh with each other. And it's like, it really does feel like, whether you feel like you're part of that friend group or not, these people are having fun, and that's contagious.
I agree. They say, did you get the edit for version of the film where they did like an interview with the cast at the end of the movie? Did you get that?
Oh yeah. There was a bonus content one that I was like, I don't have time for that. I skipped it.
That's fine. It's just like, they talked to the new cast a little bit about like their history with Jackass before they got on the new movie and joined the crew. And then they bring in a bunch of the original crew, like including Johnny Knoxville and Steve-O. Dave is there, and I think, whatever. Anyway, a bunch of them. And it's like, yeah, it's like actually very nice. And I think at the beginning they say like, I think they I think part they used part of it in the beginning of the movie where they're like, it really just felt like, you know, when you watch the movie, it feels like you're hanging out with people. Cause like they do have like people in the background, like watching the stunt that's happening. And so it feels like you're laughing with them. And, you know, I think that if there are like people who do not like Jackass from like, I'm notoriously an anti pranker. I don't love pranks. My issue with pranks is about consent. And that often like when you pull a prank on somebody, the premise is that they are not consenting to it. And you're doing something that is going to hopefully make them laugh, at worst, mm-hmm. make them angry or sad.
Right.
So scared. I never liked the feeling of being, well, there was a group of people who would prank me who I didn't like. My brothers and like our group friends, like, yeah, we like pranked a little bit. And to me, the thing was like, I do think that you can, prank culture can be okay if everybody you are pranking with or pranking against knows that pranks are happening and that there's a little bit of, like, to me, like the stuff I hate the most from the movie is stuff that's very clear, like nobody knows it's like coming in some ways. Yeah. And this, all the stuff I like is probably my favorite is anytime where like in some way they know what they're signing up for. And I think there's a way in which like when you sign up for Jackass, you also know what you're signing up for. Mm-hmm. In which like there's something about the movie. It's the same thing. I really love the show Impractical Jokers. That's where like I feel like most of the time the jokes are on the people who agreed to be on the show. Yeah. I don't like it when it like is a member of the public who is made to look foolish. Yeah. There is like at least one public prank. They weren't able to do many in this movie because of COVID, I imagine. Mm-hmm. There's one. I don't feel like the people who like they pull the prank on, this is the store. Like those people don't look like fools at the end of it.
Yeah.
Right? So to me, that's like where I can draw the line, but I totally get if like other people are like you don't like it. But to me, that's how I'm like view it, that they kind of have all consented in some way, even if sometimes, you know, they don't have consent because they like Johnny Knoxville tasers his best friend or whatever.
Right. So. MBD. No, I think that's a great point, and it totally makes sense that like there's so, I mean, obviously, like you said, the COVID of it all like made it more complicated, but I think there's a reason, like there are certain bits of this movie, certain, I almost said skits, but like certain events and certain pranks that take like a very large percentage of time. And then there's certain things that are on for like one pass, like a minute. And the public ones aren't on for that long. And I think that kind of speaks for itself that like what both is deemed quality by the people who are making the thing and by us who will be watching it is the stuff when it's really just all of them, like we said before, kind of just like hanging out with each other and being idiots together because they all want to do it and they all like choose to be there. And it's just like, it's way more fun than it had as that has any business being, honestly.
Johnny Knoxville said that too. He said that they pranked themselves, like the cast, way more than they ever have. But part of that was because of COVID. They couldn't do as much of the stuff where they would make somebody look like a fool out in public. So they had to come up with these things that they could put into the movie. But who was going to be like the butt of that joke was like them, each other, right? We could talk about a few more of them as we get in. Any other like non-spoiler thoughts before we dive in?
No, you know, I'm glad that they have like in some ways way overdue. They opened it up a little. They introduced some diversity to the cast. You know, there's a woman, there are black people on the cast. There's just like new people in general, youth. There's a more youthful energy to like counterbalance some of their more geriatric tendencies. And it feels like a very successful update and see a timely sequel to something that is like pretty old at this point.
Here's a very good litmus test to tell if you will go to Jackass and you'll enjoy it or not. There is a new member of the cast who goes by the name Poopies. So if you thought that was funny, you could probably go see Jackass and you'll have a lovely time. If you were like, I don't know, a grown man calling himself Poopies, I don't think you're going to like Jackass.
I hate that I even laughed.
He goes by Poopies. You missed it in the post-credit scene. They actually explained in the post-credit scene why he got the name Poopies. Anyway, we're going to dive into a spoiler-filled conversation of Jackass. We'll talk about the whole movie. But first, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. Okay, we are back. What was your favorite prank? What was your favorite bit?
Oh God. I think the one that I loved the most for the most, like the one that kept me happiest for the longest amount of time. And I think, you know, it was edited such that it was longer than a lot of other things. So I guess that says something, but, what I was starting to call like the Home Alone treatment when they get like, they're in the dark and then there's like
Silence
all these
of the
things
Lamps,
happening.
They called this a bit.
It's so multi-layered.
I had to go back and so I was not rewatching it, but at the end, they're talking about this thing. They're talking about how much, this is one of the things where they said they pranked each other, right? This is one of them, right? Where they thought that Johnny Knoxville was going to try to take something off the head of a snake, a poisonous snake, and they end up getting locked in the room and they're just in the dark and it's pitch black and they can't see. And so the whole thing is just kind of about torturing them in the dark and making them think that there's danger when there's not that much danger. Although they do bang trash can lids over like the one guy's head or whatever. But I don't know why they called it Silence of the Lambs. I don't know. But
because Johnny Knoxville had the Silence of the Lambs dark vision like goggles on.
In the background, Chris Pontius is dressed as like the serial killer from Silence of the Lambs, which I did not. This is one of the things where like I have to take Jackass with like a huge grain of salt. We'll get into a little bit later when we'll talk about like some of the stuff that the reaction I'm seeing online, specifically for like LGBTQ people and specifically trans people who have huge adoration for Jackass, which we can talk about later. Mm-hmm. But I was like, God, Chris, what? Don't he's like tucking his penis so that he looks like the scene,
like,
and he's in the robe.
Yeah.
And at first, I didn't realize that he was the character for Silence of the Lambs. So I'm just like, Chris, what are you doing? Stop doing this. And then at the end, they're like, it turns out, I'm like, oh, you're being the freak. You're the most famous scene for me, the scene that I like, the picture that I see of people being like, this movie's pretty transphobic, huh?
It's so silly, like, to see him. So you're like getting the dark vision and then you see him dancing in the background while all this insanity is happening. I mean, it is like, to a point that you've made, like, I don't always like it when even the people who are in on it, even like the quote unquote main cast members, I don't always enjoy them getting actually physically hurt.
Yes.
It's kind of very situational and like very based on how they react and all that for me. But like, this was for me, like the level of pain and the level of like torture is so minimal compared to other stuff, but it's such a smart and like very well executed like little plot arc that they have the people, and then they escape to the other room and there's more stuff in the other room waiting for them.
The mouse traps that what's the new guy's name, Zach like crawls Zach over the Whitty. Table he's just like crawling on mouse traps.
Is like, there's a door here, come, and the guy's like, no dude, no, I'm not going in the door. He's like, trust me.
That was Aaron. I think Aaron and Dave are together, and Aaron's like, I found a door. And Dave is like, no, I'm not coming up. Like, that door is, there will be worse things in there.
Yes.
Which is absolutely right. But Aaron,
and
like,
you're sure as you're watching, you know that he's right. You know that there's going to be other stuff.
He immediately walks into like a pan or like a weight, like, on the ceiling. Yes. And then, I don't think I laughed harder in the movie than when the lights come on and Dave says, I'm not like, I want to go through that door right there, because I don't think this whole thing is over. Like, to me, the brilliance of this sketch is that they have 20 years of messing and they know how bad it could be. So the idea that it's actually not that bad is brilliant, because to us, they're like overly paranoid. To them, they've seen literally in this movie, Danger Aaron, they have a bear eat salmon and honey off of him. They will do stuff to you.
I was like, is that CGI? Like, I couldn't tell. And I'm not accusing them of faking something. That's not what I'm saying. But it's just like such a bizarre instance of like, wow, that bear is like entire, like 6 inches too close for what I am comfortable
grabbing
with, even
the
watching.
Hand, his hand. Was,
guy. And it seemed like that was real when the handler was like, oh, I gotta
go
in.
Yeah.
For my money, that's way that handler is way too far away for the bear's instinct to bite something or to be like carnivorous in this way.
Yes.
That's twisted.
But that's the level in which, like, that's what they'll do to each other. So then the idea that they're in this room where they could do anything and they're not really doing anything is so genius. It's so smart. So when the lights come on and they say, I only want to go through that door right there. And they goes, I'm not leaving. I don't care. I'll start a new life in here.
Yes. Like, this is where I live now.
This is where I live now. This basement room.
So sad. And like the genius thing of it is like, so they introduce, like they show them this like very like poisonous rattlesnake that is apparently in this barrel. They switch the barrels while they're turned around and they turn the lights off. And then they start to like they fake the barrel like falling over, which of course is now empty. And they're like creating the rattlesnake noises around them. It's so messed up. But like, to your point, because it's not real, it just makes it that much funnier because there's no real danger. So you can just laugh at them being so scared.
It's pretty well done. And again, it's like you can't do that in like 2000 because like they don't know the level in which they will like, maybe they do a little bit, but like the level that they would mess with each other. And then the fact that they don't is just so good. Speaking of Aaron, I gotta say that guy takes some beatings. They bring in the UFC fighter. I love when they tell him it's a lightweight.
Oh my god.
Heavyweight. And then the softball person. Yeah. But the pogo stick is the most I was like, what am I watching?
That was like a bridge too far for me. I was like, I don't like actual like pain and you know, like broken skin, you know.
There's some real ones in that. There's that one. And then also when Johnny Knoxville encounters the bull again. Classic Johnny Knoxville bit where he will get hit by a bull. He'll let a bull just run into him and see what happens. And so this one, he says that he's going to be a magician. And so he pours milk in the hat and then he puts his hat on. And then the bull charges up and he flips over. And I love that this is probably at least a week, maybe longer later. They're filming him coming out of the hospital. And he goes, I broke my wrist. I have a broken rib, all this stuff. I just have like one question. Like, the milk was supposed to disappear. Did you see the milk? And they're like, yeah, we saw the milk. He's like, damn it.
And that point specifically, like that, or that prank specifically, I keep going to call them skits. I mean, ostensibly they are in a way, right?
Really a prank. I guess that's a stunt, I feel like.
Yeah, just for sure.
Have, like,
no,
a bull run into you.
Stunt is the most accurate way to phrase it. But to see, like you mentioned, like heartwarming before, to see like Steve-O be genuine, and these are like, you know, ostensibly the two biggest stars to come out of it, like, you know, they've I'm trying to remember, like Bam Margera had like a show, like there are spinoffs
from Grace for Bam, I think, recently,
unfortunately. And Chris Pontius and like other people had, I think it was like Wild Boys, so there have been like other things to come out of this franchise, but like arguably Johnny Knoxville and Steve-O are like the two most recognizable household
100%.
names. Yes. And they have the most history, and like to see in this new iteration of this bull stunt, to see how genuinely concerned he is for Johnny Knoxville, like it's really sweet, like really. And you could argue, like, dude, you're putting yourself in this situation, but it's heartwarming. You're like, he really cares about this guy, and like it's bigger than. But it makes sense that like now as they get older, it's not just like we're chasing the high of like, and we're indestructible at 20. They're a little bit more like, okay, we're 50, maybe we could die.
When does Steve-O gets hurt at one point, and he's like being cared to by
putting the neck brace on him.
I think so. I can't remember what stunt this is. And then Knoxville's like, you still have all your teeth. And he pulls out his fake teeth.
You have your $1 million smile.
Give him $1 million smile and he takes out his teeth. Like that to me was like the banter in which the other scene that I thought feels the most like, they are all, somebody is going to be willing to do something stupid. Other people will like, somebody's like sort of like in on the joke, like playing the like host. And then everybody else just having such a good time. It's the vulture scene where Wee Man is going to get meat like put on him while he's like tied down, and they're going to bring out a vulture. And the whole reason this is like, it's this whole thing is so dumb. So Wee Man is basically just wearing underwear and they're going to put meat on him. Steve-O and Chris are dressed as like zombie skeletons who are speaking in such stupid voices.
Yeah.
And then they bring a vulture out to like take the meat from Wee Man. It's like on him. And at the same time, you have everybody else killing themselves. Johnny Knoxville, we were talking about this before we came on the air. I don't know why, but Johnny Knoxville, like, don't give me a flashback, Johnny Knoxville. I'm like, nah, no, thank you. Johnny Knoxville in like sunglasses, the coat, like a little silver hair. I'm like, hello, Johnny. Like,
it's the hair. It's totally the hair. The hair color. I saw him. I'm like, damn, this is now. Now I could totally see it.
And like, it's just the way he has like his hands in his pocket. He's killing himself laughing. I don't know. I just, I think that one is very memorable to me as well.
Yeah,
and a lot of the stuff they did callbacks to previous stuff that they had done, right? So this is
I think even the this one is like from one of the shows, I think Wild Boys or one. So it's like a little bit of a callback. Even if you're not familiar with it, like you can just tell like contextually how they're acting around it. Like it's clearly you know,
the athletic cup is one. Obviously, the bowl is a callback. Like, there's a bunch of like stuff that they sort of like redo, which I think is really fun.
Yeah, it's so weird to like. I mean, we've already talked about how long it's been on and like the some of the impact of it and like the reach of it. But like, it's so weird that they have their own history that they can comment on and still do new things they've never done before, but also reinvent old things that they've done because they have an entire catalog of like stunts and pranks and ridiculously stupid things that they've done to themselves and to each other.
The other thing too is interesting. Johnny is so much of this movie is him in the sunglasses in the background, but then boy, does he ever do like two of the wildest stunts I think they do, which is one is the, is certainly the bull. I think that's the biggest injury anybody got. It seems like on the set. I know Steve-O's in a sling at one point. But the Icarus in the sun, that is a huge cannon. That's it. It was ginormous.
And that they used the shot, I think in an early trailer, like not in the latest trailer, but I think in the first trailer, that's the thing that they use, like the countdown. And like, you're not quite sure, like you recognize Steve-O, but you're not quite sure what's going on. And then they show like the slow-mo Johnny Knoxville coming out of the cannon. I felt like we got so much more of him in the trailer than we did in that thing, because you really just see him fall into the water in the movie. And like, they do show it again, but like the slow-mo shot is way more worth it to like see him actually strike the pose, if only for a millisecond. I was so scared to be like, how does it not like, what's the recoil on that? How does that feel like? And I think he says, I feel like, I can't remember the comparison he made.
Yeah. But, not good. I think.
Yeah. At least he was falling into water and not, I don't know. I guess in some ways water can really hurt, but he like jackknifed it as opposed to like belly flopping.
Yeah. The belly flop would have been bad, but yeah, it does not look like a clean landing for Johnny Knoxville. So I thought Johnny takes probably two of the biggest like actual stunts on the board. But what did you think of the new cast?
I thought the new cast was really fun. Like Zach, I believe is his name. The new guy. He's younger. Yes. He loves. Yeah. He like there's so much shared enjoyment out of like the old people, quote unquote old people, the veterans watching him enjoy himself and like put his body through hell. And this is not a small man, like not to body shame him at all, but he's just, you know, he's on the bigger side. And put his body through hell. And there's so much appreciation and love coming from him to be able to do this with like people who are ostensibly his idols.
At the end of the movie, in the post, the theater thing, bonus content, he's very clearly the biggest Jackass fan of any of the new cat. Poopies might be as big, but I think Zach is like the biggest Jackass fan that they got out of the new crew, and I think the infectiousness in which he's just so happy to be there. He's so funny.
Yeah, the joy. And like then you have her name is Rachel.
So I have the cast, the new
Rachel Wolfson.
We have Poopies, and we have Zach, we have Jasper, we have Rachel, we have Eric Menaka, and I think that rounds out the new cast. Original cast: Johnny Knoxville, Steve-O, Wee Man, Chris Pontius, Dave England, Danger Aaron, and Preston. The original cast in the movie. Ryan Dunn, there's a tribute to him at the beginning of the movie. And I think Bam was supposed to be in this movie and got fired, I believe.
Yeah, he was fired in February 2021, yeah. Although he appears in one scene shot prior to his firing.
There's a lot of cameos in here, too. Eric Andre is in here. PK Subban. Machine Gun Kelly has a pretty fun. Tyler, the Creator, has a really fun scene. Yeah.
The going back to the cast, so there's this, at one point, Rachel Wolfson, who's like the...
I thought, you know, severely underused for the one female character. I thought really underused, but
for sure. And you know, maybe in fairness to them, I guess, like in all lowercase letters, it's possible that there's like archival stuff that they decided not to use, but they made the choice not to use it. And like,
I'm a big, like, Rob Cesarino says this about Survivor a lot, where like when people be like, I can't believe there's no footage of this person. He's often like, if there was good footage, they would use it. And so it could, like, she does have her one sort of solo bit is her, the scorpion Botox. Yeah. It's fine. That's
what she doesn't see. The interesting thing is, if I'm thinking about it now, she doesn't flinch. She barely even reacts. So if anything, maybe it's that like, she's too badass, like she's too much of a pro that like anything too, that she right? was in that, yeah, yeah. I mean, glitter bombing is bad for anyone, but like maybe there was stuff that like had she had, and this is kind of like an unfair standard, but you know, they're looking for that middle, for that like sweet spot of like scared or concerned or whatever, paranoid but also enjoying it.
He does like, very well at snake mime when they have to be mimes.
Oh
well.
My god, don't make a sound because we're hurting you so much. But like she gets multiple scorpion stings directly into her lips and her face, and she is like, yes, give me more. Like she's not, you
she's
know
wild.
She flinches and she like she has a reaction. She's not a robot, but like I was watching that scene, I was like, damn.
So the other thing I wondered with her too is she is a stand-up comedian that Johnny Knoxville saw and thought was very, very funny and invited her on. So there's a world in which I can see that she is not on the show to hurt her body. Yeah. Like she's not going to ride down the ramp. She's not like, that's not her. Whereas I think Zach is on the show to be like, put my body wherever you need it
hell,
to be,
yeah.
You know, like I'll do the triple wedgie, you know, don't worry about it. Whereas I don't think that that's like what Rachel is there for. I do think like I would kind of love to see a woman on the, you know, if they do another one where like they do have somebody who's more of that mold. Like I think, you know, the fact that they only have one woman and then she's like, I don't care if she does or doesn't do physical stunts, but when you only have one woman and she's not going to do it, like it's just clearly a problem with like the gender divide on the show.
Yeah,
you know?
it's like hiring the one woman is not enough, people. And like, you know, we know that looking in, like you, on the one hand, you're like, okay, they're making strides and they're trying. On the other hand, it's like too little too late and you should have multiple of everything. But like, you also have to keep, the total number below a certain threshold, I imagine, or else it just becomes too unwieldy.
Too many people, yeah.
Or potentially too expensive. It is a little bit disappointing to have like the token woman, for lack of a better phrase, like then kind of not feature that much in it.
Eric Menaka was the other new cast member I felt doesn't do a ton. I think the funniest thing he does in the movie is he rides his bike into a fake wall. The one who like it's like looks like the ramp and he runs into it like very hard.
Yeah.
He's not in a lot of the movie. So they didn't, I feel like Zach is probably the breakout. And then I would say between Jasper's dad actually might be the breakout.
he's definitely impactful. That scene's a little cringy for me, but,
the spider,
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, Poopies has the first thing they do in the movie, I think, is the trivia contest with Wee Man.
Yeah, well,
and...
there is an opening to the movie, but there was.
Yes, there definitely is. We'll talk about that in a second. I thought the trivia contest was insanely funny. I thought that there's just, gosh, something so funny about Johnny Knoxville accidentally hitting the and then
you
when...
can't always tell like what is on purpose, and because like he'll start laughing like oops, and then oops. You're like, wait, but was that actually on purpose or was that by accident?
And then who wins, does Poopies or Aaron win? I can't remember which one wins, but when he
Aaron wins
when he sets it off for Aaron. Yeah. When he wins, he's supposed to set it off for Poopies and he sets it off for Aaron. It's so funny. That was a good one. That I really liked that one. Yeah.
So idiotic.
In the post, in the interview, there was another thing where I can't remember if it's Zach or if it's Poopies, but said, did anybody give you any good advice? And I think he says, yeah, Dave told me if you ever get a stunt that where you won't be hurt, you should absolutely take it. And they're like, is that why you took the trivia? He's like, yeah, that's exactly why I took the trivia. He's like, I'm not even smart. And I wanted to do the trivia.
Yeah. Yeah, it's such a wild time.
When Aaron gets to spell dumbbell and he's so confident, he's like D-U-M-B.
And then the collective room, like you could just tell everybody in the room and like myself included, you're like, oh God, is there two B's or one B? Like everyone is getting caught up on that thing.
So funny.
And you don't know. And even now, I'm still not sure. I know he guesses. It's two B's. It's two B's. And he guesses only one.
It's so funny.
But that's such a funny one because that's such a clever word to choose because everyone knows how to spell it, except there's that one hiccup of like, I just don't know if it's two B's or one.
So good.
And when the stakes are so high, you don't want to experience a certain kind of pain.
It's so funny.
All of a sudden, the decision is way more difficult. And so sad. And then there, you know, going back to the guests, the guest appearances, I thought it's so funny to have someone smart and who's clearly a fan. And I'm thinking of like Tyler, the Creator, who finds the thing underneath the piano that he's playing. He's like, what is this? And they're all like, I don't know.
But the fact that he's like, okay, I'll sit down. I think he's such a trooper to be like, well, yeah, I'm frigging on Jackass.
Yeah, he's so like, I don't want to be the lame-o. Yeah.
But then I think he's very good. He's like, what's the producer's name? Jeff. Is it Jeff? Yeah, Jeff Tremaine. He's like, I hate Jeff. And he's like, Jeff, come sit on this. Like, it's so good. That thing looks like there's I think in the post-credit scenes, they also show Poopy sits on it and he goes flying. Like, I think that thing had a huge, shock to it.
Tyler, the Creator just like falls back
so far.
And this is someone who was expecting it to happen. This is someone who knew that something bad was gonna happen. But yeah, that whole little thing, and then like they're all getting shocked while they're like tap dancing. It's so dumb.
Then that leads right to Dave England having to go and do a little interview where they decide to dump Big Seaman on him. He goes from the tap dancing segment to immediately having to go and they're doing a fake interview and then they dump all of the
oh my God, that's right. Big scene. Yeah. That's right. I forgot about that. How could you forget?
I thought Tyler the Creator was really good. I thought Eric Andre was he's in that Botox segment. He's I think he actually has the funniest lot. Like, I can't remember what he says, but I remember laughing at him the most in that segment. And then
he's
I thought he was such a this is a thing where I say like these people, when you sign up to be in a Jackass movie, you're kind of accepting that like chicken. When he goes to order an iced coffee and it gets like blown into his face. And then he's like, when he's making fun of himself for thinking he could have just got an iced coffee is so funny when he's just like, get an iced coffee. Yeah, go get,
That is probably like, for me, that wasn't my biggest laugh, but that was like the biggest bang for your buck as far as like my enjoyment, because it's such a dumb thing.
It also looks
thing.
Like it hurts so much.
Well, that's the thing. I couldn't tell. Like, it's this like air propelled balloon. It's essentially like an airbag. Picture airbag, but that's like very long and comes like at you very purposefully at your face. Yeah. And watching it, it's just like, it's such a funny, again, we talked a little bit about like the unfairness of like, oh, we're not expecting it, but you know, you're on the Jackass set, like similar to when Johnny when Steve-O goes to use a porta potty, they just blow it up.
I think it's a Does Steve-O also get Johnny like aims a volleyball at his head coming out of the thing, and it just
like out of a machine.
It's a perfect, and they do something else. I don't know what it was, what they got this like. I think it's Eric Menaka. They tell him to go fill up like smoothie milkshakes, and he steps out, and the stairs break. And it's just like, it's so stupid and simple, but it's so funny. Yeah,
the milkshake, because it's just like the messiest thing that you could possibly
I don't
carrying.
Think in the movie there's any scene where he's dressed up to deliver milkshakes. I think it's just like, go in there,
it's
do
behind,
that, and then when you come
totally
out.
It's totally behind the scenes. It's like the movie within the movie set, where it's like, we need to find ways, like more of a hidden camera thing. Oh God, I laughed so hard.
And then
it's coming, and then he just falls like vertically down.
So apparently they kept doing the iced coffee thing to, like, as long as people hadn't seen it, they could get them with
it. Yeah, they could get them, yeah.
So I think that they did it to somebody. I think they did. I think it's Poopies who gets one. And then they're like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, do you want a coffee? And he's like, he goes back up because he's like, the thing is out and he knows it. And he's like, kind of like, and they get him again in the bottom.
They get him across one, yeah.
It's so stupid.
So dumb. So funny.
Should we talk about the intro? I could not.
I mean, we can.
This is the moment where I knew we were talking about this movie, and like, there are moments during this movie that I was like, I don't know if I can talk about this movie. Mm-hmm. And as I'm watching the intro credits, which the whole bit is that there is a monster, like a King Kong style monster.
It's in more
the
Godzilla. Streets, Godzilla.
But it's actually just Chris Pontius's like penis in a, like some sort of like prosthetic. Mm-hmm. It's so
like green makeup and like a head. And it's just, it's so there's like a miniature city that the monster is like destroying.
And then they have all these, like, everybody in the film, in the credits, and then they get, like, white, you know, on them. Tony Hawk is in the credits, in the opening credits for some reason.
And it's, like, it's a movie. Like, I don't think, I believe I saw the first movie, even though I clearly forgot that it even existed somewhere in my brain. I don't think that I saw the second and third movies, but this intro, for as dumb and stupid and, like, borderline offensive as it sounds, it has such a high production value, seemingly. Like,
this
it looks
probably the thing they spent the most money
so
on.
Expensive and Tony, and it's the only time that I clocked Tony Hawk where I was like, he's in this, because he's in the crowd, seemingly like in the streets of, I don't
it's
know,
the only
Toronto
time he's in
the,
there's a bunch of cameos. Aaliyah Shawkat, who's in like Search Party and Arrested Development, is in the in the intro sequence, as well as Jalen Ramsey is a football player. There's just a bunch of cameos just in the opening credits. Yeah.
It shouldn't work, and it shouldn't be funny, and parts of it aren't. Parts of it is very like run inducing. But I think that's like the magic of the movie. Like, we've spoken about how like the enjoyment of the people within the movie, but there was this experience, and it seems to be pretty, like, I saw it on Twitter, and I certainly experienced it for myself, of just like how much fun it was to see with other people who were also enjoying it. Like, it was borderline like Marvel-esque, the amount of cheering and laughing.
Agreed.
And just like fall out of your seat laughter, and then the laughter like lingering on. I'm the kind of person that like the laughter hits me in waves, so it will just like linger on later at inappropriate times. But it was just like that all around. Like, people are groaning, people are like laughing, people are yelling at the screen. It's, I can't think of another thing that makes this reaction come out of people.
I certainly felt that in the theater that I was in. It was like people were like laughing out loud, which is like not always a thing that, even in like a very funny movie, sometimes people don't like laugh out loud. And this is just like, this is exactly that. I want to touch a little bit. I feel like my Twitter bubble, I've seen a bunch of think pieces pop up that are talking about why this movie resonates so much to not this movie. I think this movie, yes, but also just the Jackass franchise as a whole, is why does it resonate with LGBTQ people? And I saw a couple, at least one article that was like, why trans women are very attached to this movie. And sort of the prevailing theory is a little bit of like that Jackass was more homoerotic than homophobic. So we see there are a lot of penises in this movie. We saw Steve-O's penis get covered in bees. We saw Chris Bondi's like squish his penis in like a device. It was a Chris or was it Dave? I can't remember. Anyway, I think it's Chris. I think Dave and someone else do it later. Uh-huh. They both put it in there. But there is a way in which, yeah, you could probably argue that like the comfortability that they have with each other about being naked and doing these like things is not the same bro culture that I think I often associate with like people who are homophobic, who are transphobic. Johnny Knoxville literally today, I think before we're on, I saw something where like somebody said, all of my trans and LGBTQ friends have rated Jackass like 5 stars, and Johnny Knoxville like retweeted it, like all my, you know, and so I don't know, there is something that like, you know, maybe it's that like all of us are now falling in love with Johnny Knoxville for real, but like, I don't know, but like, there is something about it that is resonating with LGBTQ people. That I'm not sure I kind of like, maybe this is just now the time where like people are like, yeah, we do love Jackass actually.
I don't know. We're reclaiming it. Yeah, there is. It's fascinating to think about like, I mean, and obviously things are evolving now, and we're at this like point in like societal history where like people, you know, like walls are being knocked down, whether it's like about sexuality or politically or whatever it is, it just like certain conversations are much more out in the open. And I think back when this was new, certainly that wasn't the case, but these people, these men specifically, were like almost post-masculine. Like there was something, I think, for the quote-unquote bros, bro culture, as like you were discussing, and like the like unfortunate negative connotations that can have, that was part of the shocking quality of it, was like, oh yeah, these are people who sound like us perhaps, or look like us, but they're doing things that we would never do around each other and would never feel comfortable doing around each other. It's really fascinating, and like made certain things okay that are only really okay now for certain people. It's really interesting to consider it in that, from that like lens, because it's not, like you said, it's not a thing that you would ever like outright say is progressive in any way, like in anything. No. It feels like very, very opposite.
I do think there's one piece of it that I think is that the show feels like it's going to be the show that is about, in a way, you could sense how this show could have become a show that was about like hyper masculinity, in the way in which like, we will do these pranks because I'm more of a man than you. And that's not really what Jackass has ever been. Like, being willing to do the stupidest thing in the world that you could think of doing they don't do them to earn like bro credits, right? It's not like about like, let me do this one because I'm the manliest. It's not about that. They all are like equal opportunity, like idiots, I think, in many ways. That is, I think, a rebuttal in some ways to what sometimes masculinity and that type of bro culture can be, certainly.
Yeah. It just I can't believe I'm going to say this, but like I'm just going to bring it up in the context of this conversation. It came, as you were just talking, this thing came into my mind of like, and this isn't an apples to apples comparison, but like the way that RuPaul talks about drag and how drag is actually, the opposite of ego in a way of like, you have to like leave your ego at the door and you can't think of yourself as a certain way. Like, I think there are some similarities with this. Like, obviously like that drag takes way more, skill. And like, there's an element of like performance that this is just like more, almost like, what's that thing when it's not practiced, when it's, just you talking to somebody else and,
improvised. Is that
thank
what you, mean?
You yes improvised yes. But it's fascinating to consider like these people didn't like it. It's not like now where people are like, oh, I'm gonna be on TikTok and like I want to be famous. Back then they were just like idiot kids, you know, recording stuff and hoping that anyone would care, not like, let's make a whole bunch of money off of this.
yeah Yeah, it's really interesting. So I was saying earlier, I said trans women. I think also trans men. There's a lot of stuff online I was reading that's like trans men, really relate to the jackassness of it all. So I don't want to just say trans women. I think non-binary people as well. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it's really interesting. I think I think though that, you know, drag is like feels often like much more intentionally. Not political, like it's making a statement that like I don't think Jack is like trying to make
no
statement.
For sure.
It's just like the unintended outcome of what they're doing to me has like resonated with people that I didn't think were resonating with Jackass. So it's really interesting. Yeah. I don't know. Anything else we should talk about? Anything we missed? I feel like there's probably a bunch of stuff. We didn't. I feel like the last not great.
The Vomitron.
Yeah, the Vomitron. They make them drink milk. They spin them around and then they like attack them with paintballs. I think it was like
every person has a different color t-shirt and the milk that they are drinking matches.
Yes, that's good.
It's so and you know, going into it, like milk is like one of the, and it's probably not like, I would say it's probably beyond whole milk. It's probably like buttermilk, like something like that is inherently more nauseating or nausea inducing. They just spin them around in this thing and then a whole bunch of explosion. Like it definitely looks expensive in the way that the opening looks expensive, but it feels a lot less important or even necessary.
We didn't talk about any of Preston basically has two. So he has the triple wedgie is one of his big ones. I think the other one is he gets used as a punching bag of sorts, which I really did not enjoy. He also, poor Preston, I think he has the worst outing of anybody in the movie, because he has to be used as the punching bag. It's particularly a part of his body gets used as a punching bag, and he also just straight up poops his pants in this movie.
I really forgot that happened.
Like there's we don't even see the stunt. He just hugs Wee Man, and then we hear the sound of him farting, and then he says, "I just pooped my pants," and it is revealed that he literally pooped his pants.
I didn't know he was poopies.
He's also poopies. I think he has the worst showing of anybody in the movie.
I feel bad. Poor guy. I think he particularly has like a seemingly rough go of it, like a rough time, just like based on his facial expressions and the way he's reacting.
He's not in the end. He's not in the post credit thing.
And probably he didn't want to be. He's like, I've done enough.
He definitely feels like the most like, I don't want to do this anymore.
I know. He feels like he's the one where you can see, like I always talk about tennis in this way a little bit, like where these veterans who have been doing it for so long, like the Federers and the Nadals, as they get older, they get into those situations where you really don't know if they're going to be able to pull it off or not. And they're coming from a place of fear. Like, whereas when they were younger, they were like, I'm invincible. And this is very much that of like,
I can't remember if it's during the punching bag or when he poops his pants, but he says, I'm 50. And that really resonated with me.
I'm 50.
He said, I'm 50. And it was sad. It was a sad, I'm 50.
It was a sad 50.
Like, I can't believe I'm doing this when I'm 50. Yeah. The other one I talked about, it, I mentioned it earlier. I thought the Johnny Knoxville is the old man, the bad grandpa going into the store and like sitting on the couch and then falling off the couch is so friggin' stupid.
Catapulted like through the ceiling. So they make like a fake ceiling.
And then I think what's funny, like I think that if it was not COVID, I think more people would like rush over to him, but everybody's kind of like, we can keep 6 feet. Nobody makes sure he's okay.
I think I saw somebody with binoculars like looking across that person over there.
This movie is so dumb. It's so dumb.
And like, I'm not, you know, for the record, I'm not like one, and no judgment to anyone who is, but like, I'm not one of those people who enjoys like any of the like scatological humor or like the more like painful. Pain is one thing, but like breaking skin and drawing blood is like an entirely different thing for me personally. Yeah. So it's like those things I don't enjoy. So, you know, this movie isn't like the most incredible experience I've ever had, but man, like I keep saying, it's the sum is great, or the whole is greater than the sum of its parts for sure.
Yeah, I agree. Like you're more like, you know, Tyler the Creator can get zapped slightly versus
Or the Silence of the Lambs thing. I could have watched the whole movie of just them cutting across the different rooms of them doing that. It was so good.
Zach, when the lights come on and Zach explains, just like, I just thought I had to go over the table. Oh, the other thing they say in the post credit scene is when because Dave and Aaron are together, and they say you can sense that this is 20 years worth of relationship coming out, because when I can't remember which one of them is telling the other one, you have to listen to me, and he's like, I don't have to listen to you. It's like, it's so good.
It's like siblings. Like, there's so much history there.
And the line too, when I think Aaron Dave is on the couch and he's saying, Aaron, come here, come to me. And Aaron is hiding under the thing with like blankets. And he says, what would I even do if I came over there, Dave? It's so, so good.
Like, that is a person who has been in the situation many times, certainly enough times to be like, no, I already know how that would go. I'm not doing
that. It's like, if we both are together, they can just target us both.
Yeah, no, I don't trust that. Oh man.
God. Yeah, that was really funny. I think that is probably the best bit. I'm surprised it was so early in the movie, but yeah. Anyway. All right. Man. That's have you been watching anything else this week?
I can't think straight after all that nonsense. Have I seen anything? I mean, I will say this. I'll bring back like a mini segment that we had back in the day, or I think that I had personally, which was called Do Not Watch This.
Yes.
And
I'm going to do the jingle.
And the time.
Do not watch this. Okay, go ahead.
At the time, the picture that I was speaking of was, okay, what was it called? Reminiscence with Hugh Jackman.
Yes.
I would argue that the movie I'm about to mention is more fun than Reminiscence, but it is entirely too badly written for my personal taste for me to get really any enjoyment out of it. A movie called Moonfall that just came out the same day as Jackass.
Yeah.
I really just felt bad for Halle Berry, for Patrick Wilson, for our friend Sam from Game of Thrones, who unfortunately I can't remember his name right now, the actor. It was just like, I think people, you know, to the film's credit, I think people know going into it, like, let's go see this dumb action movie. Like, I don't need every movie to be, you know, Back to the Future or something super complicated.
Yeah.
But this movie, like, really did not land for me in a way that, like, I was not the only one laughing in the theater at things that were not funny. Like, it was like we were groaning and laughing, like, as if we were watching Jackass and not like laughing at the funny parts of this movie. So if you're on the fence, maybe wait it out.
It's too bad. It's that day, that movie spent a lot of money.
That had my name all over it. Like, from the outside, I was like, yeah, I want the fun, dumb. And then I get in and I'm like, this is way too long.
Yeah,
half an hour mark, yeah. I'm like,
I haven't watched the trailer, but the like poster gives big, like, you know, there was that, remember when like, you know, The Martian and Interstellar and all that stuff came out?
Yeah.
Gravity, and you're like, cool. And then they're like, Moonfall, and like, cool. And looks, this is bad.
In 2022, the moon will fall. Then one other thing that I'll mention is, there is this, so there's the Beatles Get Back, I guess it's a mini series on Hulu, which unfortunately I have not gone around yet to see. I am very much interested.
It's really good. It's very, it's interesting in that, so basically what happened is, like, at the time, the film and the audio were like recorded separately. And so there's much more,
interesting.
There's much more audio than there is film.
Video. Okay.
And so, what's weird, this weird thing he's done, Peter Jackson spent a lot of time. And I think if you look at the runtime, the episodes are like super, super long.
Super long, yeah.
But what he's done is basically like tried to match up scenes. So when he wants to use audio that doesn't have real footage, he's like picked something else and tried to like, and it's just like,
try to like super, match it.
I think it's really interesting, but like, you know, I watched all three. It's really fun.
But the reason I bring it up is because I was lucky enough, and I think they're about to do another re-release because it was so successful, I think, or maybe that was a plan all along, I don't know. But there is a thing called The Beatles Get Back - The Rooftop Concert. And what they did was they released just the rooftop concert. Now, having not seen the miniseries, I'm not 100% sure if this is a piece that is literally excised from
pretty
the thing,
the
and they
whole
play.
The third movie is pretty much the rooftop.
Is that?
A big
okay.
chunk of the rooftop concert, and the episode runtimes are, like, as I said, pretty long.
Pretty long. Yeah, this is about an hour, so it makes sense to me that if the episode is longer. It's they released it in IMAX, so I saw it on a huge screen with Peter Jackson, did a little like intro. You could tell he was like international, like projecting to like all these different people and places. I was late, of course. So like, thankfully this bought me some time. Like Peter Jackson was talking.
Was there a police officer in the movie?
Yes. Yes. And they have him talking like in the current time of like him saying
the same police officer.
I believe so, unless I misunderstood. It was a police officer who was there, who was like, we had to do something about it.
That guy, I don't. It's weird to like think that I'm like spoiling a real life event from like the 1960s.
Yeah, from the 60s.
But there's this police officer who, it's so good. It's so funny.
It seemed fake. Like I'm not saying that it was fake, but it goes on for so long and it's so funny on his side that he's trying to shut this thing down.
The lack of him doing anything for that long is so
funny.
And
the utter disregard of them. Like I will say,
and they just left him with somebody. Like some secretary's just like, I don't know.
They're
just recording.
Like, oh, they're up there. And then eventually he goes up there. In the version I saw, like they all go up. Yeah. Anyway, this is tremendous. Like it's
really good.
I was blown away. I did not expect, and of course, this is like me. Okay, now I was sure that I was interested in seeing the miniseries, but now like I need to go watch it to have more context for this thing. But it is easily the best. Like I don't consider myself, I'm a Beatles fan. I don't consider myself I'm not super knowledgeable about them, but I like a lot of their music, and this is by far the best experience I have ever had consuming any Beatles content. And I was really glad that I went.
The thing I love when they're interviewing the people on the street, and there's some great stuff there. Where like, cause like, I think to me, one of the things that was like very fun to see, and this should sound really obvious, but there's this like rather older gentleman who's probably like in his 50s or 60s. And they're like interviewing and like, do you like the Beatles? He's like, yeah, they're like, they're good. And they're like, oh, but aren't they like too, cause there's a bunch of people who are also being like, they're too like, why are they doing this in the street?
Yeah,
the Beatles are too like what, you know, like old people now being like young musician. And it's so funny to think about it with the Beatles. There's this old man who for something in me, like the reason I loved it is cause he's very much like, they can wear whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. They can live their life. They're good. He's like, I'm going to go. And he just like walked away. And what I love about it is sometimes there's this like assertion that like people who are old have outdated views, and you know how modern this guy is, probably not alive anymore.
Yeah,
but like, there's something was cool about somebody in the old days who was old at the time of the being like, live your life,
and
do whatever
recognizing,
you want, as long as you don't.
Whether he recognized like the impact and the importance of them, like and knew enough and respected them enough to just be like, wow, that's really cool that they're doing that for them, even if I don't personally care. I think he was in the movie. There is definitely like an older gentleman who sounds
it
like
it sounds
that
like
guy.
They picked
I think they had the, like I and yeah. there was no and I think because they
it's
didn't
cool,
say I think because they didn't say now featuring like extra scenes like makes me think even more that it's just excise. But like I said, I feel super lucky that I got to see just that small snippet on this
game. Wouldn't surprise me. He put a lot of work into like this has like been his like the thing he's wanted to do since Lord of the Rings. So like Peter Jackson. So it wouldn't surprise me that like he would put that much care into the actual movie and then also be able to like take the stuff that he had worked on and like pull it out as this whole separate thing. It's really cool. I loved the series. The episodes are very long, like can be like 2.5 hour episodes.
Yeah, they're like movies.
It's like three movies. It's like it's like literally his.
Lord of the Beatles. Yeah.
The thing I've been doing, I haven't really watched much new stuff, but I am watching. My plan is to watch all of the Batman movies before the new Batman. I watched the 1966 Batman, which just every time I watch it, I can't believe that that's Batman. I think it's funny. Batman gets progressively more serious, I think, as the movies have gone along. Because I think this new one seems more serious than even Christian Bale's
Batman.
Nolan.
And then
the previous ones are all the like Tim Burton ones. And then this is
and
just like
Jerry
literally
Bruckheimer in there.
Batman is using shark repellent. Like it's so wild.
I've seen many of the episodes from back then, but I don't know seen the movie.
I told Josh Wiggler this would be a perfect watching with Wiggler in the Discord.
Oh
so if
God,
we could get the
yeah.
momentum from PSR theater fans to say that we should watch this Batman together, it is absolutely wild. So
give us
the
66 cut. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Ariel, where can people find you and what are you up to?
Sometimes you have a party And then there's an after party. And then they make a show called The After Party on Apple TV Plus, featuring a who's who of comedic geniuses, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. Really fun, like murder, mystery, whodunit. Every episode is a new genre. Myself, Josh Wigler, Jess Sterling are covering that for Pusher Recaps. And at the time of this, we have the fifth episode comes out this week, and we will be recording the fifth episode. The first four have come out all this week, and then we'll be weekly for the remaining three episodes after that. So look out for that. It's I should call out also, it's Miller Lord, the duo responsible for many cool pieces of pop culture from the last few years. And then also starting this week, I will be covering Inventing Anna, a little show by a not known person named Shonda Rhimes for Netflix. Of Bridgerton fame, of Grey's Anatomy fame, of Scandal fame, you name it, she has been involved in it in some way. And there's a new series based on a true story of this grifter in New York City. And I will be covering that for Binge Show Recaps and the feed that we have here at Push Show Recaps for the Binge Shows with my co-host Marissa. So I'm super excited to get into that.
That show has a very fun cast. Julia Garner from Ozark fame. Yeah. Playing Anna, Anna Chlumsky, who's from Veep, Laverne Cox from Orange is the New Black. So, yeah, that's going to be fun.
Super, super fun. And yeah, I guess all the other thing I'll say is, yeah, you follow me on Twitter at that other Ariel. Follow me on Letterboxd at AR_F as in Frank. And look for me on the Discord and tell me how bad my movie takes are.
You guys like Jackass? I'm on Twitter. I'm at Hi From Grace. You can check out some of the other stuff I'm doing on Poacher Recaps, including Euphoria with Amon, as well as Raised by Wolves with Josh Wigler and Taryn Armstrong. Yeah, over on Rob is a Podcast, I'm covering sports. Sports. We talk about the biggest sports stories of the week and then look back. Hold Up is a podcast I do that's back. We talk about LGBTQ films from the past and see if they hold up. Ariel was on an episode a while ago. We talked about Chandler's dad on Friends. So that's interesting. Check that out. Yeah, I know. It was a while ago. That was pre PSR Theater, maybe right after? I don't know.
Yeah, no, that was definitely pre. That was my first ever podcast.
No way.
Yeah. What?
Oh, if yeah, people want to listen to Ariel's first ever podcast. Chandler's dad.
If you want to, yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
On Twitter at High From Grace. I am also on Letterboxd. You can follow me, but I'm on Letterboxd. I'm Go For Grace, not High For Grace. All right. I think that's it. We will be back next week. We know what we're covering next week. We should tell the people, give the people what they want.
Do we know? Oh, we do
we
know.
We do know.
Oh, man. Do we
it's
ever?
A, it's a good, I think this is the one that I'm. With not being excited about the actual movie, but being the most excited about being able to do a podcast about it, yes. We are covering the Owen Wilson, Jennifer Lopez. I kept saying Jennifer Aniston. Jennifer Lopez.
No, we've moved on to a different Jennifer now.
Yeah, rom-com flick. It's Marry Me. The premise is ridiculous, and it's going to be very fun. I think we'll be joined by a special guest. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm super excited to like you, like less interested in like, is the movie going to be good? And more like looking forward to the discourse and everybody potentially talking about it. Cause it's going to be on Peacock also. So, you know, look out for it. You can stream it at home.
What if it's really, really good?
Imagine it's like the best movie of the year. I'm like, ah, the Oscars came too soon. Like
Sarah Silverman's snubbed. Too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Maluma, the Colombian singer, I'm just saying it has something for everyone. We'll see.
It also has the guy from Game of Thrones, John Bradley. That was the guy you can remember from Moonfall.
Oh, yes. Thank you, John Bradley. Shout out to
him. Oh, boy. If this movie is bad month for John Bradley.
No, it can't be. There is no way. Like, even just having J-Lo in it, for my money, even in bad movies, J-Lo is always fun. Because I think her acting ability is, like, especially for comedy, in my experience, is she's very aware of herself and, like, seems very natural in a comedic setting. So I would say there's no way that this movie is anywhere near as boring, in my opinion. Sorry.
Also, next week, Moonfall. Yeah, you're going to get me just basically doing an Owen Wilson impression for like an hour. Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. She'll marry me. Wow. So, yeah. We'll see you next week. All right.
Bye.